Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Ian Parkinson, and this is the Ruler podcast, supported by LACA, bicycle insurance powered by the community. The first Grand Tour of the year, the Giro, is finally in the proper mountains after a couple of weeks of rolling stages and sprint finishes, and the final podium is still anyone's guess. Ruler editor Andy McGrath caught up with Larry Warbass of Agence d'Air Mondiale. Regular listeners will remember that Larry and his former teammate Connor Dunn both found themselves without a ride at the end of last season and decided to go on a European bikepacking trip, the No-Go Tour, instead. Larry is now happily enjoying his second Giro, although some of that wanderlust clearly remains. He got lost on his way back to the hotel.
Yeah, I thought I knew the way back to the hotel after the prologue, so, you know, I tried to take a shortcut and just ride back instead of going back through Bologna and then taking the cars back to the hotel. So I thought I'd save some time, ride back, and, I didn't have my phone with me, and I just totally missed the turn. And so I rode like 7K past, wrong direction. Finally, someone stopped me and was like, "You're totally going the wrong way." So then I looked on his phone, and I was like, okay, I think I can find the road I was supposed to take. So I go back, end up taking some road that was definitely not right, ended up descending through a farm field, really, like, not even a path, not even a footpath. And
This is
on a TT bike with a disc, you know, five-spoke carbon front wheel. And end up on some road, and so I was like, oh, I'll go down. Well, then I hit a gate. So then I flipped. I rode like a K the other direction. I hit another gate. So I was blocked in on both sides. Luckily, Bardiani director arrived on the other side of the gate, and he had to call someone to, like, open up the gate for me. And I got home, like, just before dark, so it was not ideal.
8 months ago, I think you and Connor were backpacking around Europe, and neither of you had contracts. Now you're both here. At the Giro.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I don't think, you know, 8 months ago, I don't know if either of us could have predicted that we would have been here. So it's pretty awesome. We were talking about it a bit yesterday, and yeah, it's really an honor to be here, and I'm really happy that we have this opportunity, and it's cool to be here with Connor as well, even if we're on different teams. So it's pretty sweet.
And speaking personally, I mean, kind of, what do you hope to get out of this year's Giro?
We'll see how the form goes, but I'd really like to try to win a stage. So I'm going to be looking for breakaways later on in the race. So, you know, we'll help our leader, Alexi Vermoz, and then when we have our chance, go for the good breaks, and you never know. See what happens.
Larry's no-go tour companion, Connor Dunn, has also struck lucky with a place on the Israel Cycling Academy and a ride at the Giro. All round, though, it's been a pretty eventful year so far.
Like, even the last 6 months, just to condense it down, it's been pretty mad. Went from losing the team I was riding for, not having a ride there, and not knowing if I'd continue in cycling or have a job. Immediately finding out I was going to be a father, like, a few days after this. And then going on a mad adventure with one of my best friends, Larry Warbass, having one of the times of my life, but still absolutely freaking out that I was about to become a father without a job. Finally finding a team and finding my place on this team, and suddenly here I am at the Giro, and became a dad 8 days before the start. Just mad 6 months of my life. But yeah, my son being born was the best thing that ever happened to me. By like an infinite punching mark, it was really, really incredible. And just put everything else in perspective. For me now, nothing else matters as long as my son's happy and healthy, you know. But I gotta keep him in nappies somehow, so on the lookout for any creams I can get in this Giro.
That's the thing that doesn't get talked about much, I think, in pro sport, certainly pro cycling. I mean, possibly half the bunch here are fathers, and they must have a really motivating effect, as well as sometimes, I suppose, it affects your sleep and all the rest of it.
I think it's easy to forget sometimes. This is like, it is actually our profession, you know. This is, we're providing for our families, and obviously we want to win and we want to do well and all these things, but we still have the normal worries of everyone else, providing for your family, keeping up with the bills and paying the rent or the mortgage, and it's tough, you know. You're doing all the family things as well as training and working as everyone else would. I can't complain, everyone works super hard, you know. Everyone says our cyclists work hard, but we don't. I've seen what other people do, doctors and nurses, like, it's ridiculous. We have the easiest life, you know, we just ride our bikes. But you still have those pressures where you don't want to kind of lose your job and not have anything left at the end of the year, and there's always that pressure on a rider, I think. And that's how I think, you know, you see it in any race you do, everyone's fighting for every little bit, because any little bit can make a difference. So it really is pretty cutthroat and ruthless.
So just how close were you to kind of stopping cycling and looking for a completely different job last winter?
Pretty close, to be honest with you, yeah. I mean, if I can get a ride in the professional ranks, I'd have had to call it a day and get another job, you know. I just couldn't support myself and my family riding for a smaller team where I wouldn't be able to get paid pretty bluntly, you know. I've done all those years in Belgium on living on like pretty skint money, like €30 a week budget for food and things like this, and just eating porridge. So I've done those years, and I've done 5 years in Belgium doing that. For me, that's kind of like I've had that chance, you know, and I've made it here. And if I can't continue, then you have to face reality sometimes in life. So I love doing what I'm doing. I'm loving riding and racing professionally and doing these big races like the Giro, but reality bites sometimes, and you have to get on with things. You've got family to provide for and a hungry baby at home. Being this year, just taking any chance I can get, just remembering to enjoy it as well, just enjoying every little moment and enjoying the end of these races, and just give it your best every day, you know, kind of carpe diem. Who's this now? The big loud American's arrived. He's not very big at the moment, though. His arms are like pencil sticks.
We've been joined by Larry Warbass. That noise in the background disturbing the podcast.
Hey guys.
We have the
impromptu
No-Go Tour team is here, impromptu. Good morning,
best
Larry.
Team in the peloton.
Dream team.
Dream team.
We're like a tag team. If this was WWF wrestling, it'd be like we'd be on different teams, and Larry would come in and like be on my team suddenly and just take down.
The big question is, when and where is the next No-Go Tour? That's what everyone wants to know.
Stage, no.
We're on the note. On it now, like this is the no-go Giro. I don't know, there's a lot of ideas being battling around.
End of the season, maybe.
I think we've just got to get through today first.
Yeah. Connor Dunn and Larry Warbass reunited at the Giro. You're listening to the Ruler podcast, supported by Lacquer, bicycle insurance powered by the community.
My name is Rupert Englander. I'm a self-confessed mammal, and I've been a member of Lacquer since probably about January 2018. I just love the model. The fact that the crowd is insuring itself, I think, is a really great approach. It kind of seems to be taking insurance back to the roots of insurance in terms of the way it was first done all those hundreds of years ago. The sort of the thing that really captured me was the fact that if there were no insurance claims in the crowd that particular month, then you wouldn't actually pay a premium at all. Worst case scenario, you had a full premium payout every month, you'd still be in line with the rest of the industry. But actually, if you consider that in many months there may not be a claim, it would end up a lot cheaper. And actually, in the first year, I think 5 of my 12 months, I had absolutely no premium whatsoever.
And you can get full details of LACA's very different approach to cycle insurance on the LACA website. That's laka.co.uk. So I'm delighted now to welcome to the Ruler podcast the legendary Lee Turner. For those who don't know, Lee is famous on Instagram and elsewhere for his huge collection of pro and other cycling kit, which he wears with pride on his rides around Melbourne and everywhere else. Lee, welcome to the podcast. How did this fascination with pro kits and cycling kit start?
Oh, thanks for having me on, mate. I honestly don't know. For me, cycling's about colour, about fashion, and I don't know, the two just merge. I just get so sick of the boring kits that are out there, and I just sort of like some of the old ones I used to wear when I first started cycling back in the day, like Onsay and stuff like that. And I don't know, one thing led to another, and it just became out of control, where I just can't stop now.
How many kits have you got?
Honestly, roughly around about 220 to 250, or a high percentage of those I'll have matching one-piece longs or matching long-sleeve jersey and vest and a lot of jackets and so forth, because I like to get the whole thing, if you know what I mean. Unfortunately, a lot of the sort of fashion-y kits nowadays, they just do, you know, a jersey and a bib. But a lot of the old-school team kits, you can still sort of, if you search hard on eBay or be patient on eBay, they pop up now and again, and yeah, you can get them. I just bought Phonak last week, like the complete set of longs. I've just got Rabobank last week, all the longs and long sleeve and all that stuff, so looking forward to wearing that. So, no, it's just, look, I'm just a flogger who dresses up. It's just fun. I just like it.
Yeah, Phonak, that was like bright yellow and green, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was good, because a lot of the team kits today are quite boring. Like, you look at Australia's team Green Edge, that's disgusting. It looks like a cheap shop kit. Some of the other teams aren't too bad, like Education First, they've been bold with their design, and FDJ's always classy. Movie Star's pretty good, but you can't beat the teams of yesteryear, like Mapei, Onsay, T-Mobile, Domino Ficanzi, Aqua Sapone. These teams of yesteryear were just so cool. We just don't have that these days.
As you say, it must be hard. You're tracking down all this stuff on eBay, are you? Because you can't just buy it in the shops, can you?
No. Look, honestly, I've got probably 30 eBay searches saved, and every morning I wake up, the first thing I do is I look at what's come up, because you get the email notification, and if I like it, if it's a buy now, I buy it. If not, I will run a sniper program and just put $1,000 on it so I can't lose it, and then you never pay that much, obviously, but and then you win it. It's just patience. There's kits it's like a jigsaw puzzle. There's certain kits I got now where I'm missing a couple of pieces to complete the jigsaw puzzle. I might have the bibs and the short sleeve, but I don't, or the bibs and the long sleeve, but I don't have the long legs or the short sleeve. Or, you know, there's always bits and pieces. There's still pieces I'm missing, but I'm just sort of looking every day. It just, you know, some kits just don't come up that often.
And you don't just keep it in the cupboard, do you? You wear these out on rides.
Yeah, I wear them all the time. That's probably the hardest part of my training and riding, is deciding what to wear. I usually do it, try and think about it the night before and get it out. It's just because I've got such a big choice.
And what reaction do you get when you go out wearing one of the sort of really extreme bright pink or fluorescent ones?
Nothing, because everyone's used to me now. So, you know, I've been riding for 20 plus years, obviously doing the kit thing for probably 4 or 5 years, but it's just me. Everyone just, maybe if I go to like on Saturday I wore Carrera. I had the one-piece denim longs on and the denim jacket. And, like, no one blinks twice, but I went into a cafe with some friends and there was people at the table. I could see them looking at it and pointing. And, like, for me, it's nothing special. It's just a Carrera kit. But I guess for other people who aren't into cycling or whatever, they obviously think it's a bit different. Also, my Planex kit where I work, that kit I designed, the white one with all the fluorescent coloured X's all over, it looks like pyjamas. That does turn a lot of heads when I wear that. But I guess I'm oblivious to it because I'm just, you know, it's just normal for me.
And some pro teams have actually sort of started following you, and some pro riders have started following you, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, I've been quite lucky because obviously we have our regulars that come to Melbourne every year, like Kunda Court from Trek, who's a friend. And then there are other riders. Obviously, because I ride a Giant, I've got a connection with Giant. When Sunweb was in town, I would obviously see them at the Tour Down Under. So I had a connection with some of the riders there. And then, yeah, that video you mentioned the other week where I was just mucking around, just calling out Greg because he hadn't delivered in the classics, jokingly. And, that was just tongue-in-cheek. And then I got a direct message from one of his teammates with that video, and I'm like, holy sugar. And I was like, wow. And then I said, do you mind if I post it? He said, no, not at all. And then I checked and I thought, Greg's following me and this guy's following me. I'm like, wow, like I'm just a flog from Melbourne who dresses up in kit and rides around. So I was quite honoured. So, yeah, Greg was a great sport. Like, good guy. What a good sport.
Now, I also see from your Instagram feed, am I right in thinking you might be getting married soon?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah,
you're not going to be wearing a Mappe kit or something like that.
No, it's funny you say that. A lot of people have said that. I would if I could, but I'm really lucky. My partner Alison, she rides, and I ride a lot with her. So it is. I'm very lucky. And she's very easygoing. Doesn't care about me dressing up like an idiot or buying all this kit. She's really cool. So I am quite lucky that I can share it with her.
Okay. Well, look, Lee, thanks for joining us. Keep on enjoying your riding. You are bringing a lot of colour and entertainment to cycling, which I think is much needed at the moment. Thanks for joining us.
Mate, thank you. And just remember, Ian, when someone goes, you know what you got to do?
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Ruler Desire editor Stuart Clapp joins me now. Stuart, Lee Turner, what a legend that man is.
He's amazing. I got introduced to him. I'm fairly late because other people were well into him before I was. It's just that I've just shouted loudest. There's a bit of a name drop, but David Miller introduced me to Lee Turner's Instagram page because he's a massive fan. And it was a little while ago. It was the one where he's riding and he's doing the Froomey thing and he does the quadruple bang or something at the end. And I thought it was the funniest thing because cycling, it's taken a little bit too seriously. There's a lot of epic suffering and black and white imagery and looking haggard. We do it for fun, right? And he's having a lot of fun doing it.
He's certainly brought a bit of fun back. And it may be spreading. While I was waiting for you to sort your password out for the Skype, I was looking on Instagram and Bradley Wiggins has just done a little film on there about the Giro. But he's dressed in a 90s Dag Otto Lauritzen Motorola Norwegian Champions kit, like head to foot. And it's looking quite good in it, actually.
You know what? I think there's something in this. Kaylee Fretz, you know, the writer, he's got this thing about riding in pro kit that he's doing at the moment. And I had this idea, because you know I do this thing on Fridays, right? So every Friday at my cafe in Lee, the Birdwood, right, I have this thing where on a Friday, I call it Free Wheel Friday, open to everyone. Everyone knows this thing happens, Free Wheel Friday. So people from my community, cycling community, of which there are lots around this area, can turn up 9:30, have a coffee before, usually a coffee and a cake afterwards. And we sort of go out and people that are new to the sport or people that usually ride on their own just want a bit of company or a little bit of, what's the word, sort of encouragement of riding in groups. Because you and I might forget this, because we've been riding around for a few years now. And it's actually quite daunting if you're new to the sport and you want to ride in groups, but it's like the etiquette and what to do and riding to abreast and things like that. So this is like an opportunity for people to come out, ride in a group. They're not going to get dropped. If you go over 20 miles an hour, you get sent to the back. And actually, being on the front is by invite only. I wanted to make a no Garmin rule, no computer rule. There are other computers, right, other than Garmin, rule. So people wouldn't try and smash up or try and keep an average. So anyway, for this, I had this another idea where I had a full pro kit Free Will Friday. So I wanted to do it the first Friday of every month. You had to turn up in pro kit. How about that?
I think I probably have said this before. I do have a full head-to-toe Mappe kit from the 90s.
Yeah.
I look like a fat Franco Ballerini, but I could probably come along on a Friday, couldn't I?
I think you should. I think you're not that far away.
No, true. Away from all that, Desire, the special Desire edition of Ruleur, is still available in the shops and online. But issue 19.4, which would be the sort of start of the tour edition, must be coming pretty soon. What have we got in store in that?
For Desire, I think I can't lay claim that this location is haunted, but it's fairly old. The Desire thing is like, you know, lots of nice kit, but we also get really cool locations because I like to find something proper wonky. So Benedict Campbell, the photographer, can then do his magic. So as long as I give him the setting and the bikes and everything, he creates the rest. So we've got Waddesdon Manor for this one, which is one of Rothschild's buildings. It's not actually that old. I think it's like Victorian or something, but it is mental and very Ruleur. He sort of built it. Apparently it was his weekend house for his parties. So imagine that, having a house that size for a party. The land that it's on is absolutely huge. We went in there. We were saying you could get a crit round there because it's got a hill and everything in it. There's one for the tour series. So we got that, but I'm quite excited about the one after that. It's going to be our weirdest one to date.
Why is that?
It involves a horse race simulator. Right, okay, I had this idea, right, where I wanted to shoot cyclists in cycling kit on horseback, right? But I spoke to a few people that actually ride horses. This is where idea and it actually happening, in reality, it doesn't really work. So you can have these ideas. It's like, you know, I might have one like, oh, yeah, let's get some wing walkers, right? So, yeah, that's cool and everything. In fact, wing walkers are probably safer than just sticking, like, cyclists on the back of thoroughbred racehorses, which was what my idea was. And they cost a lot of money, and they don't want people sitting on the back of thoroughbreds that haven't ridden horses before. They're quite dangerous, apparently. So, and I thought, I can't have that, and I'll put a model on the back of, like, an old nag somewhere. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll find something else. And then I found this location. Charles II or something's built this place. And it's to overlook his horses. Because back in those days, they didn't have telly, right? So they had to think of something to do. They made, you know, hundreds of children. Or they looked out the window at their horses, which is what... It's a different time, mate. It's a different time. So this is going to be the location for the one after, which actually comes out in July.
On the subject of kit and cyclists, have you been watching the Eurosport coverage of the Giro and Adam Blythe?
Yeah, I have. And I think
what is he wearing?
He can wear what he wants. He's I've actually started trolling Adam with every picture he puts up on Instagram. I put underneath hashtag hot boys are cycling. He's amazing. he doesn't care. But I think he looks absolutely great. In fact, I just saw someone on my Instagram timeline done his hair like how he has his. And as a tribute to Adam. So I don't know whether this is a thing we could start on Instagram now where we could just do a selfie of us dressed as Adam Blythe in like ripped jeans and some tie-dye. Getting stuff obviously from Browns, who the shop on Bond Street that actually sells cycling kit now. So whenever you think about cycling, is it mainstream, is it fashionable and all this stuff, it's like, well, Paul Smith has his cycling line, but Browns has started stocking Poc, Panormal, all this stuff in their clothing shop on Bond Street, which is very high end fashion. He's not shy, is he? He's not shy. He's a good looking lad, and if anyone can pull it off, it's going to be Adam, isn't it?
Stuart Clapp, and that's it from this podcast. We'll be back the first week of June. Catch you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.